Hey fam, it's Cameron A here coming at you with a brand new podcast, Hot Takes with Cameron A. Welcome back, guys, to another episode of Hot Takes with Cameron A. Hey, I just want to say thank you guys for listening to this podcast, for listening every week, sharing on your social media pages, and sharing all the love and encouragement to me and my team as we go through this. And this week, we are back with episode 4 out of 8. So I just want to take time here a little, explain how the rest is going to go, is that for the next 4 weeks, there will continue to be a podcast released every Friday, and it's going to end at the end of March, but that's only going to be the end of season 1. Season 2 will then launch later, and we will have more dates posted for season 2 when we do season 2. We have not started recording or planning, but we know that we're going to do a season 2 because this has gotten so much love, and I am so thankful for it. In the last episode of this podcast, we talked about Austin's testimony, and the few before we were kind of talking about the Bible. It just, as a whole, how we have to do even the things that we don't really want to do. And that's what this whole podcast is about. Hot Takes is basically the unpopular opinion of the Bible. And the unpopular opinion that a lot of people do not want to get a hold of is vulnerability. And that's kind of what we're taking all of season 1 to talk about. And just sharing testimonies and just encouragement for you guys to become vulnerable. This isn't for our profit. We're not making any money off this podcast. So certainly you could share it all over, get us XYZ amount of views and streams, and we would never make a dime. This is not for me to profit or any of my team members to profit. We're doing this to help you, and because we have a love of sharing God's word and God's truth and God's freedom. So I pray through this season, Lord, that you would help this person be free. Yes, free God. Amen. Let's go. Today, episode 4, I'm going to be sharing my testimony. So like I said, last episode, we kind of went through that testimony with Austin, and we said in there that it creates an environment for people to become vulnerable and are able to open up to others. So that's why we testify of our testimony, because we want to help others open up and become more vulnerable. It's like a fire. When one person throws a stick in, the fire gets a little bigger, and then it touches another stick, and then it gets bigger and another stick, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and the next thing you know, everything's in flames. Why? Because one thing started it all. One thing had the choice to make it grow. You could be the choice today to help someone grow. Now, last episode, we heard Austin's powerful testimony, and today I'm sharing mine with you guys, and I want to preface this by saying mine is not greater than Austin's. Mine is not less significant than Austin's. The basis of every testimony is this: you did, God came, you changed. A testimony is a story of God in your life. Every saved Christian has one, and they are all very simple. It may look like one testimony is better than another, but they are equally the same because the focus is on God, not of you, but it is within you and for you. A testimony is simple. Now, my testimony that I'm going to share today might not seem as powerful as Austin's. Mine might seem a little more scattered. Mine might not resonate with you as much. Okay. You know, looking back at my testimony, I never touched drugs. I never touched alcohol, cigarettes, never tried to commit suicide. I haven't done anything along those lines. Actually, let's hop into the testimony. I actually grew up with my grandparents for the most of my life. I was with them for most of my time in the day because they would babysit me while my mom and dad were at work. My mom and dad were not absent. They were just at work. But I grew up with my grandparents because they were my babysitters, pretty much. So, me growing up with my grandparents on my mom's side of the family, I would go to church with them occasionally, like on the weekends. And I think, and I'm pretty sure, I was dedicated to the Lord as a child. But even though I was dedicated to the Lord and I went to church with my grandparents on weekends. I never knew really much about this Jesus that they were talking about in church. I mean, I was present in the room with my grandparents, and I would not go to Sunday school. I remember that. I remember that. I would not go to Sunday school. And then, you know, I also, like, bowed my head and prayed for whatever, you know, was happening, even though I really had no clue what I was doing. I was just, like, pretty much blind to all of it. Well, that was pretty much, like, my younger years. A few years into doing all that, though, my grandparents aged, obviously, and my grandmother had a stroke that almost killed her. But by the grace of God and his healing touch, his power, she ended up living, only being paralyzed on the left half of her body, which was a mighty work of the Lord. And I mean, at that point when that happened, though, church stopped for me. My mom became a full-time caretaker for my grandmother. She got laid off from her job, and the Lord just kind of positioned her there to take care of my grandmother. And then my grandfather stayed right at my grandmother's side, so I had no more access to this church thing that was happening. And that went for, I think, like another 8 or plus years of my life. I'm not really good with timelines and remembering dates, but it happened for at least 8 years, I can tell you that. In that time period, a few of, like, my struggles worsened, and things have seemed to got turned for the bad, if you want to say, but suffered from severe anxiety. And then I saw a doctor because of my anxiety. Because it was super bad. Like, I wouldn't even go to school. Kind of bad. And it was happening before my grandparents were in the shape they were in. But it just really, I mean, it got even worse, I think. Just honestly, it all got worse. Everything did. But I was prescribed medication, and then the medication made me gain weight. And then it gave kids in school another reason to pick on me. So, yeah, I was very sensitive, and my anxiety was at an all-time high, believe it or not. Through middle school, I even had family members bully me and pick on me, and it started to create thoughts that no one ever should have. By the time that I was, like, already halfway through middle school, somewhere along that time, I developed suicidal thoughts and thoughts about hurting myself. And I know, I remember this whole thing of mentioning to someone that I did this, but I remember the fact that, you know, they told me, they thought I was joking and that I wouldn't actually do anything. Praise the Lord that I did not choose to go through with any of those things, the thoughts, the actions, whatever. I didn't harm myself. I didn't kill myself. Obviously, I'm here today. But praise the Lord, didn't go through with those things. But I was not joking at the time. I was not joking. I don't think I knew fully what I was saying, but I was not joking. So at the end of middle school, my grandparents' health deteriorated quickly, very, very quickly. My grandmother died in her sleep, I know, in July, and my grandfather then became really, really bad and died 4 months and 11 days later than my grandmother. And then, yeah, it was kind of crazy. After that, I transferred to cyber school, because I just could not do public school anymore. And that was a battle, because I had a lot of bad teachers. I had I think they call them, like, assistant principals, associate principal, however you want to say that, that basically told me that if I wanted a teacher's help, that's me living in a dream world. It's not their duty to stay before or after school to help someone. And so, therefore, I was failing classes, because my anxiety, my sicknesses would keep me out of school a lot. And when I tried to go get help, couldn't get it. So that even added more to everything I was dealing with. It just wasn't pleasant. But I switched over to cyber school after, you know, knowing I could not do public school anymore. Some troubles went away, obviously, the teacher ones. But there was still, like, a big missing piece. A missing piece. You know, I then developed a weird desire to watch pornography. And what made that fact weird, and it's not really, like, weird that I developed that fact because, or that trait, because 80% of men, or I would say even more than 80% of men, deal with it. But it was weird because I never thought of it. I never heard of it. I was just sitting in my bedroom alone one day and got a random thought about watching it. And I did not understand. Like, looking back on it now, like, no longer having those urges, it's like, what? I don't understand, like, how it started. I've been trying to figure out how it started, other than the enemy just finding me in a low moment in my life and just whispering to me in my bedroom, which is crazy. But anyway, needless to say, I became addicted to watching it and, you know, all the other things that come with it. So, bam, more things for me to deal with. So, you know, after my grandparents died and I was all over the place with my life, as you can hear, I began going to church again. And I remember crying and weeping, having no clue what was going on, but I was there. I sang the songs on the screen. I listened to however much the preacher preached before I started zoning out. I prayed, like I said earlier, just doing whatever was present in the room. But I wasn't fully present because I totally did not really get what I was doing. And I remember asking someone if I was saved. And the response they gave me was that they didn't know. And then that was the end of the story. Yeah, kind of sad looking back on it. And, you know, I came back week after week and I finally became addicted to the things of the church, which was weird. Like, I didn't lose any of my addictions, any anxiety, any depression. I just became addicted to the things of the church. Like, I felt good on the outside, but on the inside, like, I did not feel good at all. Like, good on the outside, but nothing ever changed on the inside. Unlike most people, you know, I don't remember the day I got saved, but I know that over time, I became in love with God and everything that God did in this particular church. The healings, the prophetic words, the testimonies I heard, the Bible, you know, everything. And then, you know, I began to use my musical talents to lead worship for the youth group, and I became very involved in every area that I could be involved in. I wasn't on the main worship team because there really wasn't a spot for me, but I led worship for youth. I was going to do this cool thing in 2020 called Cardboard Testimonies to get our testimonies that we have inside the church, outside of the church. And yeah, COVID hit. Good old COVID. You know, this rocked my world. And once again, it took my access to church away. No more church for me for the second time now. But it didn't take away access to something. That something was access to the Bible, the Word of God. Sometime in February, February 2020, or it could have been March, something around those areas of when COVID happened, just shortly after, I almost died. I got sick, and I was the first person in my county to get tested for COVID-19. Dang, I feel really accomplished, and I'm still waiting on my award in the mail. They've yet to send it to me. Pretty sad. Anyway, I got really sick, and I actually thought in this time that I was sick that my life was over. I was going to die. I literally had no vision for life through this sickness because I was that sick. I was having trouble breathing. There's nothing that doctors would do. I had to stay home. So I was sick probably for 7 days. 7 to 9 days. And it took 14 days at that time to get COVID results. So I was all better by the time that they got back to me and said, oh, hey, you don't have COVID. And I'm like, okay. You know, and then all the stuff released in the summer that the tests weren't accurate. So I probably did have COVID. But point is point, I almost died. So yeah, that happened in February, March area. But after that time that it happened, and I was back to my normal self at that time, something in me clicked. A switch was flipped, and I became so aware of what was going on. I was sent into like this response of repentance because I knew the time was short. Well, or at least that's how I felt at the time. And I read the word and I felt really guilty about what I did and who I was. So in that time, I lived in a state really of just, I wouldn't say fear, but fear of God. That's healthy, right? In April, then I found another church to go to, and I knew I wanted to give it all for God. So I joined the worship band, the main worship band of that church, the next month after I went. And then the month after I joined the worship band, I found my calling into ministry. It wasn't in a church service that I found my calling, but it was in a simple conversation with one man. And I guess I should also note that back in 2019, I think it was 2019, I received early acceptance to one of the best musical theater schools in America, and I was supposed to move in June of 2020 to start my degree in musical theater in New York City. However, COVID kept pushing that date back, and eventually, when I felt my call into ministry, probably about 3 months before I was supposed to move, I declined the offer and dropped out of college. I got all the money back that I paid for all the deposits, and I just dropped out, didn't go. Now, it took like days of endless tears, like anxiety, the questioning, God, you know, what will my parents think of me? I'm afraid of, you know, the public appearance of me that I dropped out because some members of my family, like I said, weren't the nicest, and I just knew that I would get some sort of hate, mean, bullying comments from that side of the family. I just knew, and so I didn't want to tell anyone. I didn't want to do anything about God speaking to me just because I was afraid of what people were going to think. But I answered the call. And I said yes. I said yes to God. And I've never looked back on it since. Let me tell you that. I've never looked back on it since. You know, since that convo that happened that Sunday night after church, I've never turned back. I never looked back. My anxiety has become better. And the things that bugged me before no longer do. I no longer deal with an addiction to pornography and the things that come with it. I have not had as much depression as I did before. I've never wanted to act on any suicidal thoughts, and now I can rebuke them in the name of Jesus when they come. I've lost all guilt that my past gave me. Jesus changed my life when I said yes to following him and his ways. And I just want to put that out there, that my call into ministry was so much deeper than a call to preach, a call to sing, a call to write music. Everything that I do now, so much deeper. It was a call to drop my idols and follow him no matter the cost. It was a call to fully, blindly surrender because everything that I once knew was no longer my reality. I was in a new world living a new life. Nothing was the same. Jesus really did change my life, gave me a purpose, and he was no longer a figure that I knew, but a father that I knew personally. And I wish I could say that I'm perfectly whole. Spiritually, by Jesus' blood, yes, I am. But there's so much work that's yet to be done in my life. Just like Austin shared in the last episode when he talked about his testimony, not everything went away. Let me tell you, I still get depressed, but that doesn't define me anymore. And I still get anxious over some things, but that doesn't control me anymore. You know, I still have urges sometimes to go back in the lifestyle that I was living prior to ministry because it is just a lot easier. Ministry is not the easiest thing in the world. Amen. But the furthest I can fall now is into his arms because he helps me get back up and keep moving forward. I'm no longer living my life backwards. I'm only moving forwards. This is not to brag about me, not anything that I do, but it's all to brag about God. And I pray that this episode and the last one has inspired you to become vulnerable and to share your testimony with someone. It is your weapon. It's your account that cannot be disproven. Why? because it's between you and God, not you and man. See, all the stories are the same. I did, God came, I changed. God is in the middle. He's written in the middle of every testimony. He sits in the middle. You did, he came, you changed. It's simple. Austin's story is the same as my story, is the same as your story. May God bless each story written, unwritten, and in the process of being wrote, just like mine. Now, next episode is going to be lit, guys, and I don't think I'm going to spoil it this week, because I've been giving you little spoilers every week at the end, but you'll just have to come back next Friday to listen to episode 5 of Hot Takes with Cameron A. I pray this episode blessed you, and I can't wait to continue on for 4 more episodes. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Hot Takes with Cameron A. Until next time, God bless.